Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm your host, Janice Pinnell. Welcome to another edition of Beauty Talk. But before we get into tonight's show, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. So our guest tonight is makeup artist and hairstylist LaVon Anthony. But before we speak with LaVon, my sister Denise has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. Tonight's beauty news for Sunday, February 23rd. If you live in the Los Angeles area or visiting during the end of March, join the Hair and Makeup Artist Network for a two-day intensive career coaching workshop to be held on March 29th and 30th from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. For more information on the class or to register, you can call 323-913-9375. Or you can visit them at hmartistnetwork.com. That's www.hmartistnetwork.com. Our friend Donna Mee will be joining us here on Beauty Talk on March 16th, when she will be sharing with us her new business forms that she developed, as well as talking about her 2 to 4 week intensive 8-hour classes. The master classes that she will be teaching will be Mastering the Canvas and Pro Tool Techniques, Mastering Eyes and Advanced Beauty, Mastering Eyes and Advanced Beauty, Mastering Color Theory and Corrective Beauty Lips, Corrective Beauty Mastering Contour and Highlight. For more information on those classes or to get information on student loans for the classes, you can call the Empire Academy of Makeup's Education Director, Mercedes Mormon, at 714-438-2437, or you can email educationdirector@empireacademy.com. Now, I have some news from, PBA, the Professional Beauty Association, in reference to barbers this time. So it seems like there's some deregulation talk as it pertains to barbers. We have barbers in Alabama. Barbers in Alabama need your help. Several bills have been introduced for deregulation towards barbers in that state, which hurts the professionalism of the industry and puts consumers at great risk. They need your support and need you to send two letters. Excuse me. House Bill 273, sponsor Representative Craig Ford. House Bill 446, sponsors Representative Carrie Rich. And Senate Bill 179, sponsor is Representative Del Marsh, are currently in the House Committee on Boards, Agencies, and Commissions. These bills, if passed, will do the following. House Bill 273 will change the name of the board to Alabama Cosmetology Board, removes barbers from licensure and regulation by the board. House Bill 446 exempts all barbers from regulation and licensing requirements by State Board of Cosmetology. And Senate Bill 179 exempts any person practicing as a barber who has practiced for at least 15 years before August 1st, 2013, from licensure. So basically what that means is if you were a licensed barber for at least 15 years before August 1st of last year, then you will no longer need a license to practice. The information on how to send letters to these senators will be posted on our Beauty Talk online page on Facebook as well as our Beauty Talk blog. So I'll post that up tonight. And then we have, again, the state of Missouri and deregulation threat in the state of Missouri. Missouri Representatives Nick Marshall and Ronald Shiver have introduced House Bill 1891. House Bill 1891 will deregulate the cosmetology and barber industries in Missouri. If passed, this legislation will do the following. Allow a person to engage in the occupation of cosmetology or operate an establishment or school of cosmetology without a license. That just sounds crazy. I'll read that again. Allow a person to engage in the occupation of cosmetology or operate an establishment or school of cosmetology without a license. This legislation will also do the following. Provides that every establishment in which the occupation of cosmetology is practiced may obtain a license from the board. Every establishment which is licensed shall pay to the board an establishment fee for the first three licensed cosmetologists, estheticians, or manicurists or apprentices, and an additional fee for each additional licensee. Provides that an instructor trainee may but not be required to be a licensed cosmetologist, esthetician, or manicurist, or hold a license as an instructor trainee in cosmetology, aesthetics, or manicuring. Taking away licensing hurts the integrity of our profession and our industry and places the public at risk. So, again, this information will be posted on our Facebook page as well as our blog page. But if you would like to get more information from PBA, the Professional Beauty Association, you can go to probeauty.org /advocacy. And don't forget, if you would like to chat with us tonight, you can chat with us on our tweet chat. You can go to tweetchat.com and use hashtag BeautyTalk, or you can just tweet directly from Twitter using hashtag BeautyTalk.
All right. Sounds good. And again, the call-in number, if you have comments or questions, is 914-803-4399. All right. So I'm going to let her introduce herself. Our guest tonight is makeup artist and hairstylist LaVon Anthony. Welcome to the show, LaVon.
Thank you. Hi, how are you guys? Thanks for having me tonight.
Oh, we are wonderful. Thank you for joining us tonight. Let's just jump right into the conversation. Why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about how you started as a makeup artist and hairstylist and what inspired you to do so?
It was totally by chance. I was a preschool teacher for several years and thought that that was going to be my career. And I had worked in daycares and was a nanny and had family child care centers. And I had a friend, Shannon, who was going to makeup school at the time, and she had gotten an opportunity through the owner of the school to work at the MTV Music Awards as a talent escort. And the day of the rehearsal, her car broke down, and she asked me for a ride, and I was like, well, what am I going to do at, you know, at Universal Studios all day? And she's like, well, I'll see if I can get you a credential. And so I waited by the gate for maybe an hour. I had never seen a celebrity in my life. And as I'm waiting at the gate, Madonna pulls up, Snoop Dogg pulls up, and all these musicians are going to check in, and I'm just staring there just completely starstruck. And next thing I know, I see her blonde hair running up the hill, and she's swinging a credential in the air. And so she came up to me. She told me she got me in. And at that point, I found out that I was assigned to Busta Rhymes and the Flip Mode Squad, and I was going to show them and where they needed to go all day and just hang out with them and kind of be their personal assistant. And at the time, I was a huge fan of a singer named Tori Amos, and when I went to the bathroom, she was standing in line to go to the bathroom with me. And I did the whole spiel about, oh, my gosh, I'm your biggest fan. And, you know, I just think that you're amazing. And I wanted to see you at a concert in New York, but none of my friends knew who you were, so nobody went with me, so I didn't go. And she was like, oh, really? That's such a sweet story. I'm actually performing
at the Greek Theater next week. Would you like tickets? And I was like, yeah. And so she took my name, my number, and she told me she'd have her publicist call me the next day. And sure enough, her publicist called me. She gave me front row tickets, backstage passes, and tickets to an after party. And just being at the MTV Music Awards and being around all these people and just being in that limelight of the entertainment industry, I knew at that point that I wanted to change my career. I knew I didn't want to be famous. I'd rather be behind the scenes, and I was always the girl who would, you know, do people's makeup before we went out. I had my caboodle and my makeup in there, and I had about four or five brushes, and I thought, well, you know, if my friend Shannon can do it, then I can do it too. So I was able to finance a loan. My uncle helped me out with it, and I enrolled at Empire Academy of Makeup in Southern California. And at that point, I went to makeup school and didn't look back. And in the course of attending the class there, back then the class was about 5 days, and now it's 6 weeks. The industry's changed a lot, and the needs of the industry have changed. But that's pretty much how I became a makeup artist. I still love children, but my passion has definitely become artistry and makeup.
Wow. Well, tell me a little bit about the Empire Makeup Academy. I know that's Donna Mee's school, and I know there are a lot of people who see the show who want to become makeup artists, and they're looking for a school. There's a lot of schools in California. Tell us a little bit about that school, why you like it, and, you know, just why you would refer somebody to that school.
I know that there's a lot of schools that are available, and there are options for people. And I know that for me, when I first became a makeup artist and I decided to go to Empire, I originally went because of the opportunity, just the opportunity that was afforded to my friend. I was like, wow, if this school can get my friend here at the MTV Music Awards, what can they do for my makeup career? And so when I first went and checked out Empire, I instantly knew it was where I wanted to go. It was convenient. It was close by. I got a good vibe from the owner of the school. And at that point, it was something, I was young. I was like, oh, how old was I? It was a while ago. So at that point, it's like I knew it was somewhere that was a good fit for me. And now looking back and knowing and seeing so many other schools that have popped up, the number one thing I have to say about Empire Academy of Makeup is Donna Mee is somebody who has such great integrity, truly cares about her students, has been a wonderful mentor to me, and my career has spanned over 15 years. She is one of my closest friends, and I can call her whenever I need anything, and I know she won't second-guess, question, or anything. She's always been there for me and always will be. So I think when you find a school, I think they're more about pushing numbers and getting their enrollment high, but when it comes to the type of attention that you get, it nothing compares to it. And that's just administration. That's just Donna. That's just the people who work there. But when it comes to education and skill and artistry, I don't know of any other school in the world that teaches corrective beauty like Donna does. And I think that when you're a makeup artist, a lot of people have natural born talent. There's a lot of people who can work at a makeup counter and then just have the right connections or know the right person and be good at what they do. But when it takes everyday people, because not everybody's going to end up doing celebrity makeup. Not everybody's going to be the person working in Fashion Week and doing all that. Most people are going to do regular consumers, you know.
Right.
Me and my friend used to joke that we were going to get T-shirts that said, we don't work with civilians. But the majority of people who go to makeup school end up working with civilians, and I think it's really important to know how to do makeup on somebody to make that person look better and give them the best version of themselves as possible.
Right.
And Empire is the only school that I know of that does that.
speaking of doing makeup on civilians and working with celebrities, would you say that there is a difference between, I mean, I know a face is a face, but is there any difference between working on celebrities versus civilians, considering that when you're doing celebrities, you're doing it either for like a personal appearance, a photo shoot, film or television, things of that nature?
A celebrity knows exactly what they want. They know exactly what looks good on them. They know exactly what products they like.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again. They know what they want.
I said that's exactly what I wanted to hear you say, because there is a difference.
Yes.
They know what they
there
want.
There is definitely a difference. They know exactly what they want. They're used to having it done, and they know when they look good. They've had people do wonderful makeup on them. They've had people do horrible makeup on them. When it comes to a civilian, like somebody who comes into a counter, they are trusting their face with your hands and your brush. So basically anybody who sits down in my chair who's a civilian is going to listen to what I'm telling them, whereas a celebrity is expecting me to know what I'm doing, and I better do it well because they're paying me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like when it comes to celebrities, it's a little bit more of a challenge. You have to know your stuff. You have to know what you're doing. And you have to make them feel comfortable. I think it's very important when it comes to your touch. And one thing I usually ask people when I'm doing their makeup, like when I'm first starting up, is how's my pressure? That's like a question I'll ask people, because you don't know if you're pressing too hard or, you know, if you're, like, there's a space when you're standing in front of somebody. Usually you're right between their legs. You're a few inches away, and they have to feel comfortable. And if you're aware of the psychology of the person sitting in your chair and you're aware of beauty psychology and working with people, you know when people are uncomfortable. And you know when they're not trusting you. Like, I had a model once tell me, it was a few weeks ago, I did this campaign, and the model was in the chair, and I was doing her hair and makeup, and I did her hair, and then she fell asleep, like, in the middle of the chair. Like, any model or person who falls asleep in your chair, you've got 100% complete trust. And then when I did her makeup, she started dozing off, too, and I was like, wow, she must be really tired. And then when I was done, she's like, you were the first makeup artist / hairstylist I've ever met in my entire modeling career who, as soon as you touched my head, I knew you knew what you were doing, and as soon as you touched my face, I knew you knew what you were doing, so I didn't have to worry about it. Because either a makeup artist is really strong as a makeup artist, or she's really strong in hair, but they're never strong in both. And that was such a compliment to me, because I never went to cosmetology school. I don't know how to cut. I don't know how to color. I never put in my 1,600 hours anywhere. I know how to do makeup, and I know how to style good hair. So it's a difference when you're working with somebody who's a celebrity. They're expecting you to know what you're doing to make them feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, also when it comes to celebrities as opposed to just the everyday woman, especially I find in film and TV, celebrities take care of their skin. Like I said, the ones in film and TV, I don't know, you know, someone may, you know, disagree with me on that, but from people that I've worked with, I know the celebrities take care of their skin. If a celebrity's on the hair and makeup trailer as opposed to someone who may be a local actor who doesn't, you know, work as much, you can tell the difference in their skin. Celebrities know what products not to use. Some people are just like, oh, well, you know, I went to, you know, Walgreens and I thought I would, you know, I bought this, or I went to Sephora and I didn't really know what to get. Celebrities know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think when it comes to product and skincare, their face is their business. So if they're not taking care of their skin, then, you know, there's only so much concealer I can use. There's only so much airbrush I can use. There's only so much that, like, video editing can do, like, beauty soft focus on them to make them look better. They have to take care of their skin. And I think when it comes to product selection also, like, there's so many different products on the market. You have to find what works best for you. But at the same time, like, if you're following the basic skincare steps, then if it's anything more than that, then, yeah, you have to seek further advice or get, you know, different products or see an esthetician and so forth. But most celebrities are taking good care of their skin, so they don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Right.
What would be the one thing you would tell a makeup artist who's either new or who's been doing makeup but just doing civilians and now they have a celebrity? What would be the one thing that you would tell them to either look out for or they need to pay attention to?
If they're, like, let's say they're booking their first celebrity.
Yeah, they're getting ready to work with a celebrity for the first time.
Do your research. Do your research. When I started doing makeup, we didn't have internet. There was no Google. There was no, like, blogs or anything I could look at. But now that's available to people, so do your research. I had a opportunity to work with a celebrity. It didn't end up happening, but I knew that if I went in there, I wanted to go in there prepared, like, to do a trial if it came down to it. So I Googled her name, and I, through, like, maybe within a matter of 10 minutes, I found a makeup artist who had worked with her in the past who listed every single product she used on her and what this client loved. So I knew going in to have those products just in case I absolutely needed it, or if I knew I needed something similar to it, I had it in my kit. I didn't have to go out and buy everything, but I knew that if she asked me, hey, by any chance, do you have this? I could be like, yeah, I've got this right here. And it's about doing your research so that you're prepared when you go in there. Because most people will have a look that they like, especially if they're, like, used to being in the limelight or they're on TV on a something regular that they're doing. They know what works for them. So if you come in prepared with those products in your kit, I think that puts you ahead of your game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who inspires you?
Oh, that list. I thought that question might come up. And I was trying to make a mental list of there's a few different places that I'm inspired. And it's different now because when I first started, it was like I just could flip through magazines or watch TV and then find out who did it and then look at their work. But for me now, it's kind of like I live in New York, and being on the subway is great inspiration, especially when I see people doing their makeup on the train. I'm guilty of it. If I'm in a rush, you will see me putting on my concealer, my mascara, curling my eyelashes if I have to. But I enjoy watching people doing their makeup on the train. I love looking into other makeup artists' kits just to see what they have, see what they're using, because it's kind of like having the opportunity to look in, like, the Vogue closet, you know, if you're a fashion star, to see what's up and coming. Runways, I like European fashion markets, the couture shows. The streets of New York, I think, is great, but most importantly, it's going to be other artists who are passionate about the business. I've had the opportunity to work with some great artists, and just looking at some of their work has been an inspiration to me. And, I mean, just to name a few, I love one of my really good friends, Ronnie Peterson. He's from Brazil. He's an amazing makeup artist and hairstylist. Renee Garnes, Sir John, who's now Beyonce's makeup artist. AJ Crimson, he's come out with an amazing line of cream foundations that I absolutely love. Sam Fine, I have a great story about Sam Fine if we have time to talk about it. There's a makeup artist named Topolino. When I first became a makeup artist, I used to look at all of his stuff. I actually saw him do a makeup presentation for MAC years and years ago. Matthew Anderson, I think, is great. And then there is a makeup artist I started working with when I first started doing makeup at Makeup Forever named Matthias Allen, who now works on E! He's so passionate. I love people who are passionate about their business. And there's people who don't want to be in the limelight. They're not on social media. They just want to do the makeup. And then there's others who are using social media as a platform to get their work out there. And I think people who are doing really well in the business and take pride in their craft are people that inspire me, as well as a lot of photographers. I like following a lot of photographers. And lately I've been working with a lot of Brazilians and Brazilian teams, and there's a lot of photographers I really admire just because I think that in the Brazilian market it's a different kind of work ethic than I've seen in the States. They're a lot more loyal. They're more passionate. They're very creative. There's a few photographers, Diego Quirzoli, Andre Schneider I work with a lot. There's just a – I think there's a different level of, I don't know, their personalities and their attitudes are different about the business than other photographers that I've worked with. I don't know, there's something different about Brazilian teams that I absolutely love. I'm like, been learning French for about a year, but I think I might have to switch gears and learn some Portuguese. I'm really inspired by photographers and makeup artists and hairstylists too.
I want to go back to we were talking about education really quickly, but I do want to hear your Sam Fine story. But I wanted to ask, because I was just thinking about it, do you think your career would have been any different had you just, you know, like you said, you didn't go to school, cosmetology school for hair, but you know how to style hair. Do you think you would have, your career would have been any different had you not gone to the Empire Academy? Or any
I wouldn't have had a makeup career. I wouldn't have been a makeup artist if I didn't go to Empire. It wasn't even on my radar. It wasn't even something I thought I could make a career out of. It wasn't something that I thought I could make money from. And the fact that I was available the day Shannon's car broke down, the fact that I was available to go to Universal Studios, the fact that I was able to get in and do this event, mm-hmm. I was 23 years old. It was like, oh, I'm going to be a makeup artist. It was just something I thought I could do. And mm-hmm. to look now almost 16 years later, and this is what I do full time, it would have never happened when I went to Empire, because it wasn't something I was thinking about doing. I mean, I was blueprints to open up a 24-hour childcare center called Around the Clock. You know, that was my goal. Mm-hmm. That's where I was going to college for that. I mean, I quit pursuing my bachelor's degree to go to a trade school and learn a completely different vocation. So there's makeup artists who now know that that's what they want to do. They're growing up and they're like, I want to be a makeup artist when I grow up. I wanted to own a franchise of childcare centers. So I think if I had not gone to Empire, I would not be a makeup artist today.
Right. Right. Okay. I want to hear your Sam Fine story.
my Sam Fine story. Oh, so many moons ago, I had gotten the book Fine Beauty. And mm-hmm. It was like my Bible. I still have it. It's sitting on my bookshelf. I'm looking at it now. And that was like my Bible, because I knew as soon as I went to makeup school, we had to make a list of like what our career goals were and people we wanted to work with and so forth. And he was on the top of my list. And so was another person. And I'll tell you that story later too. So I had gone to a Mac Pro class that he had taught and met him, took my photo, watched him do a demo, thought it was amazing. And so afterwards, I had decided that I wanted to write him a letter, you know, just to thank him for such a wonderful opportunity, and I learned so much, blah, blah, blah. So I started writing this letter. I hand-wrote it on, like, line college room paper, and it was, like, 5 pages. And I was like, he's going to think I'm a stalker. I need to condense this letter. And so I was trying to figure out a way to condense it, and every time I rewrote it, it just didn't sound right. So I, at that point, decided the best way to get him this letter without having to write 5 pages was to record it on a cassette tape.
So oh, my God.
So I ended up dictating this letter on a cassette tape, and I mailed it to him. He received it. He wrote me back a beautiful handwritten note thanking me for the letter and that he would keep it and treasure it forever. And so I was so touched by that and, you know, continued on my makeup career. Now, fast forward a few years, and I had been working with makeup artists pretty regularly as his assistant, and it was a great opportunity. And he was the personal makeup artist to Aaliyah. And when Aaliyah had passed away on that plane crash, he could have been on that flight. And he didn't go,
I didn't go because I wasn't assisting him for that job. He had sent his friend. And when Aaliyah passed away, it kind of like shook me and kind of rocked my world. And I kind of took a break from doing makeup. And I got into real estate at one point and was like a loan processor and, you know, just trying to save up some money and just, you know, take a break from the whole entertainment industry. And out of the 7 times I've lived in New York, I decided at one point to move to New York again. So I moved to New York, and I was doing the real estate thing here. I was kind of working part-time for Makeup Forever, freelancing and so forth. But I was at a crossroads in my life where I was like, I really love doing makeup, but to get back into it as a freelancer, it's so hard because you have to wait forever to get paid and trying to get jobs and trying to get your images. It was just, it felt like it was more than I wanted to do. And so I had had a friend from my old mortgage company come visit New York, and it was Valentine's Day. And we went to this bar to go get a drink or whatever, and I'm sitting up here telling this guy about how I don't know what to do with my life, and I'm stressed, and I'm depressed, and, you know, I don't know what to do. And I said, but I know I love makeup. I just need some kind of, like, sign to figure out, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Well, there are probably about 8 people in this bar, and in the booth next to me, I hear this voice, and I turn around, and I look, and it's Sam Fine on a date. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I turn around and look at my friend. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to believe this. I'm not going to believe this. He's like, what? I'm like, the guy in the booth next to me is like my idol in the makeup industry. And, you know, I don't know if I should say something to him because the last time I said anything to him, it was on a cassette tape. You know? And he was like, you have to say something. So I turn around and I tap him on the shoulder. I'm like, hi, excuse me. They said, I don't know if you'll remember me. We met once. And he looked at me. He's like, you're the cassette tape girl.
Oh, my God.
He recognized my voice, like, immediately. I guess I've had more than one person tell me I've got a pretty noticeable voice for whatever reason. But he remembered me, and we talked for a while, and he told me, you know, follow your dreams, do what makes you happy. He gave me his number, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up going full stream back into makeup again. And that, I'll never forget that day. And it's like, I saw him. Makeup Forever launched their new brushes last year, and I saw him at the event and went up to him and same thing. He's like, there's a cassette girl. He remembered me, took a bunch of photos, laughed, had some champagne. It was a good night. So that's my Sam Fine story.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Who knew that you would ever, you know, run into him and actually meet him in person?
I know. Absolutely.
Mm. That was a good story. Awesome story. The cassette tape girl. I mean, if only we had cassette tapes now.
I know, right?
I'm asking the makeup world, who would you send a 5-page letter on cassette tape to?
Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so now we don't have cassette tapes now, but we now have Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And all
social media.
How has social media changed your career or had an effect on your career as a makeup artist?
It's interesting because I know people who use social media as their soapbox, their platform for their makeup career. Like, all they're doing is posting pictures of their work. Inspiration photos. Certain people use social media for different platforms. When I first got on social media, I joined Facebook, I think, 5-6 years ago. And when I did, it was just a way to stay connected with my friends. And, like, it was like the high school reunion immediately happened, like everybody from high school added you, you know? And then as time progressed, it became like a platform where you had to create a page if you had a business. And then it was like, Twitter came around, and I'm always the one to jump on the bandwagon last. Like, I'm like, I don't want to do it. And then you keep hearing about it, and you're like, fine, I'll do it. But I've never thought of using it as a platform for work. initially that wasn't what I was using it for. It was just to stay in touch, be funny, share stuff with my friends or whatever the case may be. And then as soon as I started using it for makeup or putting work that I had done and using hashtags the right way, I started getting all these followers. And I don't have tons of followers. I don't think I've got tons and tons of followers or anything, but it got to a point where I realized that if I want to work more, I have to use the social media aspect of it. And
right.
I know now that if I see somebody who's posting a lot of makeup work or posting that they're on jobs, I know that they're working a lot. I was on a shoot today, and we were just talking about that, how, like, if you see somebody posting a lot of their work, then you're thinking, wow, this person's working a lot. You don't know when they did that job. It could have been from, like, 5 years ago, you know?
Right,
but
exactly.
It's kind of, it's the platform that people are using. They're using their hashtags correctly. They're getting sponsorships from different brands. People are sending them product, you know. It's a way to get your name out there, where now it's like people are asking, well, how many followers do you have? If you want to apply for something, if you're trying to get something, people are looking at your social media platform to see where you're at. So I think in business, for your career as a makeup and hair artist, depending on what route you want to go, because there's mm-hmm. different avenues for different people. Like, if you want to be famous, if you want your own brand, if you want to get free product, if you want tons of followers, then you have to use it for that platform. So for me personally, I'm starting to get into an aspect of looking at it in that sense, where before I never really thought of it that way, where, like, I was like, at one point I was like, wow, I should go through my Instagram feed and delete some of these stupid pictures that I posted. You know, because if I want to designate it towards makeup, then I need to make it makeup focused. If I want to focus it towards my personal life and where I'm vacationing, then I can use it for that. So it all depends on what area and what avenue you want to go down with the social media, because using social media can make you famous. Using social media can get you more work. So it's up to you and what avenue you want to use it for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know that you've worked in a lot of different mediums. What do you enjoy most? Fashion, you know, photo shoots, video, print. What do you enjoy working in most, and why?
I love anything and everything that allows me to take a brush and touch somebody's face. I don't care what aspect it's in. If it's in fashion, video, print, TV, film, runway, I absolutely love what I do. And mm-hmm. if I have an opportunity to work with somebody, whether the rate is $0 or the rate is $1,500, if it's with a team of people that I respect and I like their work, I'm going to do it. There hasn't been one job that I've done in my entire career that hasn't led to another job. Not one. And I know that by working with teams of people, I'm inspired. I make connections. It's my way to network. It's an opportunity for me to get more work. And mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for me to do what I love to do. And so when it comes down to what I enjoy most, I enjoy doing makeup. If it's a natural, clean beauty makeup, every time I touch somebody's face, I'm getting better at my skill. I'm practicing. I'm finding a different way to do things. I'm working on a different face. So everything that I get to do, I'm very grateful for. I like things that are consistent. So I do e-commerce, and I love e-commerce because it's consistent and I know what the expectation is, and I get paid, and I get paid in a timely way. So I like consistency of work, and I like being able to work. So in whatever avenue it is, it's all wonderful to me.
I love that answer. I really do. I love that answer because you see so many makeup artists who talk about, and even on social media, they'll talk about how they don't work for free. And, you know, and I get the whole concept of we want to get paid because we have bills and that kind of thing. But I really love your answer because it shows how passionate you are about what you do, and it shows that you really love what you do, because some people aren't excited about doing a job for free. You know, all they're thinking about is the money, well, not having any money, if they do mm-hmm. the job, instead of
looking at it as, you know, an opportunity to network and get your next job.
Absolutely. So any job that I take is going to cost me $5. And that's $2.50 for my MetroCard either way I go. And so if it's an investment for me to spend $5 to go do a job that leads to another job that pays me $1,500, I'm going to do it. And I think it has to do with a lot of people get to a point in their career where they don't want to waste their time. They feel like it's a waste of time, but I never look at any job as a waste of time because if I'm doing what I love, and even if I don't get paid for it, I'm still doing what I love and I'm hanging out with great people and making new friends and, you know, making new contacts. I think it takes a lot of humility, and there's a lot of artists out there who just aren't humble.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Tell me, what makes a great makeup artist, in your opinion?
I think what makes a great makeup artist, number one, is your personality. I think that there's a lot of people out there who don't do good makeup, but they have a wonderful personality and they're working. But I think it's also more important for someone who knows corrective beauty and doesn't do what looks good on them on other people. And I think that takes a while to get to that point. I think a lot of retail makeup artists are used to doing what looks good on them on the people who sit in their chair because they don't know corrective beauty. But once you get to a level in your career where you're working with, you know, models and celebrities and so forth, you surpass that point. But I think when it comes to that learning curve for a new makeup artist to an established makeup artist, I think a great makeup artist knows how to make the person in their chair be the better version of who they already are.
Absolutely.
And just a really good attitude.
You're right. I agree. That corrective beauty is key. It's key. You have to do corrective beauty. Now, you've worked all over. You're from California? Yeah?
Yes.
And you're still kind of bi-coastal?
Well, yeah. I live in New York now, but the goal is to relocate back to California in the fall, if not sooner. I've lived in New York 7 times. I did the bi-coastal thing, just coming back and forth. I was raised in California. My father lived in New York, so I would come back and forth since high school. I always loved New York, but New York is hard. It's difficult. It's a challenge. And I've been here for 3 years now, and I love it. But I'm ready for a change. I'm single. I have no children. I don't have any obligations. So I'm able to pack up and leave if I want to. So I love to travel, and Europe is one of my favorite places. And this last year I traveled a lot, and it's just one of those things where I feel like I can go wherever I want to go.
Right.
So why not do it?
Right, absolutely. Well, let me ask you, you know, because you've traveled and, you know, you're from one coast and you work on the East Coast, What would you say you've learned, I guess, about beauty and about beauty trends in different parts of the country and even the world?
Okay. Well, I'd say for West Coast, my West Coast girls love some makeup. They will put on a full face every day, all day, any time of the day before they walk out of the house. And then they also love to go out with no makeup on and look fresh and natural and clean. I'd say in New York, people don't wear makeup to look glamorous. They wear makeup to wear makeup and follow trends. I think that on the East Coast, especially in New York, that people are very in tune with trends. They're in tune with the latest and greatest. They're in tune with, you know, whatever is trending at the moment, they're going to wear. But I think in California, people, especially Orange County, people love to look pretty. And it's a different kind of vibe. California is laid back, so you've got like the beachy girl who's got the bronzer and the mascara and the gloss, and you've got your girl who like wants to do the full face of makeup, eyeshadow, contour, highlight, blush, lip liner, lips.
And then you've got people who are going to be very simple. Whereas in New York, I think it's pretty constant, where, like, the people who are wearing the makeup are in some way, shape, form, or aspect of working in some kind of fashion or entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Europe, when I'm in Europe, and I think especially in France, everywhere I looked, I saw a red lip or a nude lip, a red lip or a nude lip, mascara or no mascara, and, like, fresh skin, and, like, bushy brows, and, you know, nobody had their nails done. You know, I had a friend come stay with me for 3 months, and she had her first pedicure and manicure here, and I was like, what? You know, it's not something, like, people paint their nails at home, but they're not going out and spending money on a manicure and pedicure, which I thought was amazing, because here in New York and California, I live on a street where I swear, I kid you not, there's 6 nail salons in a 2-block radius. Whereas when I went to Paris, I could not find a nail salon to save my life. And when I did, it was $60 for a manicure and pedicure. Well, 60 euros. So I think that in Europe, they have a more relaxed view to makeup. And it's simple. It's clean. It's not too glammed up. But if you look on the runway, that's where you're going to see the makeup. That's where you're going to see the pow. That's where you're going to see the avant-garde. That's where you're going to see the rhinestones and the crystals and the lashes and the color. So I think it's completely different.
What about makeup artists, you know, from California to New York to Europe? How are they different, or are they all doing the same thing?
No, I think that's different too. I think that if you put 3 portfolios in front of me, I feel like I can look at it and tell you where each of them are from. Like, if you put a portfolio for a makeup artist from California, one from New York, and one from France, I could easily be able to tell who's what. There's a certain look, and I think that it's, like I said, like, you have your glam, you have your trends, and then you have your simplicity. And I don't think there's anything wrong with any 3 of those. It's just where you're at. Like, I went to Texas for the first time ever, and it's different there too. You know, everybody, every state, every city, every county has a look that they're known for. And it doesn't have to be something that's like, this is our look. It's just the trends that people follow where they're at.
What would your advice to makeup artists be? The advice, and not just makeup advice, but more so advice about life and the industry, and you know, how they can make it in the industry. And to go even further, for single makeup artists like yourself, or for makeup artists who are married with children?
I think for me, I learned a very valuable lesson when I first started doing makeup. Like, my goal was to work in an agency and do hip-hop music videos. And I had a very humbling experience, and that was, if you're starting out and you're trying to make a career in this, you're going to have to either A, work retail, or have a million great connections or one great connection. But otherwise, you're going to assist. And when you're assisting, I think it's so important to know the etiquette behind assisting, and also to manage your money. I think that finance in this industry is such a challenge, because not everybody knows what to do. And when you're waiting 6 weeks to 6 months to get paid on a job that you did, that you knew was gonna, you knew that job could cover your rent for a month, but you're not getting that check for 6 months, I think it's really important. So I think when you're starting out as a makeup artist, set etiquette is super important. I send a list to my assistants, letting them know what I'm expecting of them, or either I have a conversation with them about what they need to be aware of, because when I first started, nobody had that conversation with me. And I was on a set with a makeup artist and talked too much, flirted too much, talked to the wrong people too much, and I was just being my normal, happy, friendly self. And when I sat down with my agent afterwards, she told me that she had a conversation with me because I needed to, I remember the phrase, she needed to reel me in. Like, basically, like, take the fishing line and reel it back in because I was too far out there. And I didn't even think anything was wrong of it. And she told me, she's like, nobody's probably ever had this conversation with you, so you're probably completely unaware of it. But, you know, you outshined your key artist, and that's not what you're there to do. And so from that, I didn't work with that agency anymore, and I didn't work with that artist anymore, but it was a very humbling experience for me to learn, you know, like, what set etiquette is. So, like, I think it's really important for people who are starting out in this business to know that there's certain rules that, you know, you might not know.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of artists don't realize how you can really lose your job or lose an further opportunities with other people when you don't know and don't understand set etiquette.
Exactly, and they might not even tell you, that you just don't book anymore, and you send an email like, hey, you know, just wanted to touch base with you. And I think it's really a disservice not to tell people, like to say, hey, exactly, you know what, I understand you're contacting me for more work, but unfortunately we're not going to book you anymore because you did A, B, C, and D. How are you ever going to know unless somebody tells you?
True, and but you know what, I think sometimes I think artists look at it like this. I think they figure that if you want to be in the business, you will take every step necessary to find out what the business is all about. But a lot of people don't really do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, nowadays, I don't understand why, because, again, you have all the resources available to you. 16
exactly.
years ago, when you started, like, with us, you know, like you said, and we say it all the time, you know, there wasn't any Internet. There wasn't any Google. There was no one really around to tell you about these things unless it was an established artist, you know. So, yeah, it's their responsibility to tell you. I don't think it's their responsibility to tell you and then not have you come back or to just not have you come back at all. I think,
tell
you, give you another chance to prove yourself. And then at that point, if you don't get it right, then, you know, maybe just not call you back. But, yeah, back when we started, there were no set rules. You didn't know unless you were able to go onto set with someone and to observe them first or to, you know.
Yeah, but even with observing, you could still do so. Can I tell you what my list is? Because I want people to know. I think it's really important because even if you're standing there observing, you could still be breaking rules and not even realize you're breaking rules. And not that they're like set rules. I think they're just guidelines and just things you should think about. But I think most importantly, you always need to be attentive and ready to help whenever you think I'm going to need your help. Ask questions if you don't know. It's not the time to sit and read magazines, be on Twitter or Facebook, texting your friends. Put your phone on silent. Actually, don't even pull out your phone unless I'm asking you to take pictures of my work or videotape what I'm doing. I think say that again, sorry.
No, I was just going to say you're absolutely right because as you were saying that, I was just thinking. I remember the very first time I was actually on a movie set. I did have the opportunity to go to that movie set to observe before I ever worked on that set. And when I would go to observe, I mean, some of the first things they would tell me was, you know, don't stand behind the director. When the director's in Video Village, don't stand behind the director and the producers. You know, don't do this, don't do that. So I was kind of aware, just kind of stood to the side and out of the way. So I was kind of aware of, you know, what to do and what not to do. But I think with my personality, I was going to be more observant anyway as opposed to, you know, like speaking to people, being friendly or whatever. I was pretty much going to stick with who brought me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, even with social media, like if you're sitting up, you're taking pictures and then you're tweeting it or you are putting it on Instagram, you could get in trouble for that because some stuff is private. It's not supposed to be out yet. It's not supposed to be released yet. I mean, that happened to me. I got hired on to do a job once for the Pirelli calendar, and myself and my client were tweeting on Instagram, and she got a call
from production saying, we need you to take down all your photos as well as the rest of your team who are with you. And we didn't know we weren't supposed to. They didn't tell us that. But, you know, sometimes things aren't available to public knowledge yet because it's private.
Well, I think for those productions, I think what would save those productions would be if they had some type of, you know, non-disclosure agreement.
Absolutely.
And then that would pretty much tell the artist, okay, you can't do this. But if you know, if they don't have that, then it's their game. You can do what you want to do. They're your pictures, you know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You know, and especially if you're assisting someone else. I worked on Pat McGrath's team in Paris, and I'll never forget, she told the team, do not Instagram, do not Facebook, do not post any pictures on any social media whatsoever. These are not your models. Do not go walking up to your model and lifting your leg and marking your territory, because these are not your models. This is my show. You are here to assist. You're here for a reason, but it's not about for you to promote yourself. No self-promotion. I've been on jobs where I've had assistants give out their cards, make friends with the client, the art director, and there's a time and place for networking, but it's not when you're assisting. Like, those are my clients. Those are relationships I'm trying to work on. So if you're trying to, like, openly go and network, like, that's like, immediate. Like, I'd tell you to go home and tell you why you had to go home. I've had people come and ask me, like, hey, can I get your information? I'm like, oh, no, you need to talk to the key artist right here, you know. Like, especially during Fashion Week, you have bloggers and people coming up to you wanting to interview you and ask you what the look is and stuff. That's not your place. You need to send them to the key artist and say, hey, you need to talk to that person. That's the key. They'll give you all the information. And I've seen people sit up there and, like, start giving interviews for people, and then the key artist walks up and just looks at them like, what are you doing? You know?
Wow. So what kind of advice would you give to a makeup artist in regards to marketing themselves, especially just marketing themselves in general, and then marketing themselves or trying to promote themselves when they're working or assisting others?
If they're working or assisting others and they want to market themselves, they shouldn't. It's not the time to do it. Is that what you were asking me?
Right, yeah, I just wanted to hear your opinion on it. Yep.
Yeah, no, like, you're marketing yourself, like, you should be hiding. Assistants, I think, need to blend in with the background. It's an opportunity for you to observe, because there's people who get requests to assist artists all the time, but if you're there to watch, you're there to observe, you're there to be on time, anticipate the artist needs, that you know what they're going to grab next and have it ready. It takes some time to figure that out, but you should always be aware of, like, if you see me doing foundation and you know I'm going to need something else, anticipate what that's going to be. I think it's important for assistants to keep your station clean and organized, keep your brushes separated if you're working on more than one person, you know, to set up and put away your kit and clean brushes after you're done. I mean, keep chatting to a minimum. Nobody wants to hear your personal stories. Nobody wants to hear about what you did this week, and nobody wants to hear about your boyfriend. Don't use any profanity. I think it's completely unprofessional. And just take your job seriously and stick to your role and be humble. And also, like you said about the personal space, like, don't stand behind the director, the photographer. Don't touch a photographer's camera, you know. You want to be close but not too far away. And it's just about watching and learning and paying attention to the technique of the artist, because you're there to learn. Like, the way that they hold the brush, the way that they put on eyeshadow, the way that they're using their tools, their placement, their product uses, that's what you're there for. You're there to learn from them. And then just enjoy yourself and use common sense. Don't act too nervous or jittery. I think those are all really important key points that anybody who's assisting should know. And when it comes to market, the time you're going to market is when you've proven yourself in that capacity, and they call me for a job and I can't do it, and I'm going to say, hey, use my assistant. She's great. She knows how I work. She's got it down. He or she knows what the deal is. And that's where you get the job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So share with us all of your social media sites and where everyone can find you.
Everything's Levon Beauty. I tried to keep it consistent. Instagram is Levon Beauty. Twitter is Levon Beauty. Facebook is Levon Beauty. And I have a Vimeo account. That's Lavon Beauty, too. But oh, and I have a Pinterest board, too, and that's Lavon Beauty also. So.
Look, that's a great marketing tip. Keep it all consistent at Lavon
Keep
Beauty.
It all consistent. Yeah, absolutely. Tumblr. I have Tumblr, too. Tumblr is Lavon Beauty.
And your website?
Lavon Beauty.
All right. Well, last question for you. What is beauty to you?
Oh, I think beauty is what makes you feel good. And you know what? If you look good, that's beautiful too. I think it's really important, like women who don't apologize for being themselves, because we're all imperfect. Only 3 perfect people walked this earth and 2 of them failed. You know, so I think that nobody's going to be absolutely perfect. We all have our flaws. So I think people that are comfortable with themselves and people who are genuine and people who have a good attitude and are positive and optimistic, I think that's the most beautiful thing.
I'm in total agreement. So anything that you want to do in makeup that you haven't done?
It's interesting you say that, because when I was talking about that list I had to do at Empire about all of the goals that I had in my career, last year was the year I accomplished all of them. And I remember I go back and I have the opportunity to teach at Empire workshops and assist Donna when she needs me. And I remember when I made my list, the top 5 people I wanted to work with were Naomi Campbell. And last year I had the opportunity to assist Renee Garnes on The Face. And it was just for 2 days. But I remember when I got the call that I was going to, I didn't even get a call. I got an email and I saw her name on the call sheet. I burst into sobbing tears. And it was like a moment in my career for me where like everything that I had ever wanted to do had come to that point. And I wasn't doing her makeup. I put lotion all over her body, and her skin is like butter. Oh, my gosh. But for me, it was one of those points in my career where I was like, here I am 15 years later, and I've now accomplished this goal. And working in Paris for Fashion Week on Pat McGrath's team was a goal. And after accomplishing those 2 things, like, I know that there's other things that can top that. But I'm at a point now where I have to stop and reevaluate my goals, because I've done everything I've ever wanted to do in my career. I feel like if I were to say that I'm not doing this anymore, I'm going to go open up my 24-hour childcare center, I would be happy with everything that I accomplished. And at this point, with preparing to go back to California, it's a time for me to sit down and decide, you know, what options are available to me and what I want to do. But career-wise, I think that you have to always continually reevaluate your goals. But at this point, I'm so happy with what I've accomplished. I'm so proud of myself for what I've accomplished. And being at a point now where, like, the past 2 years where I've just done makeup, I haven't had to have a part-time job to support myself, I think it's a wonderful feeling. It's a really, really wonderful feeling to feel like I've done what I've wanted to do in my career and I can sign out and still be content with that. I think that for me, my goals now are just helping other people and, you know, just being on an end of giving back and just doing some volunteer work and just making sure that, you know, I'm spending my time on the more important things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lavon. We really appreciate you joining us tonight for a wonderful conversation.
Thank you. I had a wonderful time.
You know, and I see somebody, and I'm not sure if they want to say something or not, but their hand is up like they do, so let's just try this. I'm not sure. Let's see.
Okay.
Hello? Okay. They don't want to talk. No, they don't want to talk.
Somebody rocking out.
Yeah, they must have pressed the button to talk by mistake. But so there were no, let's see, no more hands. Oh, wait a minute. Let me try this one. Okay. Not working. Okay. Well, I guess not. See here. No. Okay.
Somebody's rocking out.
Somebody is, definitely.
I got okay, my hand in the air. I'm bobbing my head up and down.
I was trying to get this other caller here. Let's see. Hello? Okay, they're not saying anything. All right, well, they're not saying anything. Everybody's afraid to talk today.
No worries.
Okay. But thank you again for a wonderful conversation, and I have to get on the horn with Donna and let her know how wonderful, if she wasn't listening. But
She better have been listening.
But, you know, I have to say this. You know, Donna is known all over the world, you know, for her classes and being a great educator. And I often see her post a lot of things about her former graduates,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a wonderful thing for a couple of reasons. One, I think if you have a school, it's great to post about your graduates so that people can see what that school has produced. And two,
mm-hmm.
I just think it's great when you support, you know, support and promote your graduates.
You know why she does that? Because that school is her life. She doesn't have children. We are her baby. She's dedicated her whole life to making great makeup artists. So for her to be proud of us and to share our work and our accomplishments, it's like a proud mother, you know? It's like somebody who's given their time, their life, their blood, their sweat, their tears, just everything into educating a world of people who want to be artists. So I think the fact that she showcases our work is absolutely wonderful. It's humbling, and it makes all of us extremely grateful that we know we have her in our corner and that she's got our back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she'll be on March 16th, I believe is the correct date. She'll be on, and I'll mention you again to her on that date as well. But I'm thankful for her just putting us in touch. And I really love how she promotes her graduates. I think it's a wonderful thing. And they have something. Her graduates actually have something to talk about, to even brag about, I believe. So
Yeah,
exactly. And I just think it's a great thing how she promotes you all. And you all have really gained a lot from learning from her. So, and I wanted to say that because I know that there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, I know I actually have one person on my mind that who's interested in a makeup school in California, you know, and it's a thing. It's like, you know, you can get brochures or you can go online and you can look, and everybody's going to say great things about their school, and everybody's going to, you know, have all this stuff posted on their sites and in their brochures. But it's good to hear from someone who's actually graduated from the school, can talk about how great the school is, can talk about how great the educators at the school is, but they can also show what they've learned when they show their body of work and talk about their body of work.
Absolutely, and I know she tells people who are interested in the school, go check out other schools first before you come back here. So that you can see the difference. Don't walk in here blind thinking, oh, I'm just going to go off of what everybody says, because it might not be the right fit for you. But if you go and you see the other schools, you know what you're getting. You know what the difference is. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I love it.
I love it. Well, thank you again. We will definitely keep in touch and see what you're up to and see what your move, what kind of changes your move has brought about when you move back to California.
Absolutely. I'm very excited. As soon as one door closes, another one opens, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we want to hear all about it, so we're going to have to get you back on the show at some point once you get back and get going.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you. I'm so honored that you guys even selected me to be on your show and a talk. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night. And for those of you who are out there listening, we thank you for your continued support, and thank you for any new listeners tonight. Check us out every Sunday night right here on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And I'm going to see if my sister Denise has anything else she wants to say. Maybe she doesn't. she says, okay, she got disconnected somehow. Okay. Well, follow us on Facebook at Beauty Talk Online and on Women. Here she goes. Maybe she'll tell you all that. Let's see. Okay, there she goes. You there? Okay, she got dropped again. Okay, so we're going to stop talking with her. But follow us on Facebook at Beauty Talk Online and on Instagram at beauty_media. I'm messing it all up. Beauty_talk_media. And on Twitter at beauty_talk. And until next week, everyone have a beautiful and blessed week. Have a good night.